The words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our Old Testament reading today continues the saga of King David, a story I like to try to focus on from beginning to end. And in today's lesson, King David's son Absalom is killed in battle. And David grieves. David grieves loudly and heartbreakingly, as we overhear it, as any father would grieve for his son. He mourns his son's death even though Absalom was in open rebellion against him, even though if he could have, Absalom would have killed David in order to gain the kingdom. But who killed Absalom? Of course, the literal answer is that 10 soldiers killed him. This is not a mystery like who shot JR. Absalom died in battle, a battle between the established rule of David and the rebellion led by his now dead son. 10 soldiers killed him, but who was really responsible for his death? Last week we heard God declare through the prophet Nathan that because of David's terrible sin, the sword would never depart from his house. And Absalom's death can be understood, is usually understood, as an example of that sword's work, a consequence of David's sin. So does that mean David really killed Absalom? Or, and this is the most troubling question, did God kill him? If Absalom's death is part of God's punishment, does that mean God wanted it to happen, even made it happen? It's an uncomfortable question to ask, I know, but I think part of the task of preaching is to give voice to the uncomfortable questions, including ones that make us squirm. Where was God in all this? Who done it? Was it just the soldiers, just what happens on battlefields? Was it David's fault? Or was God so bent on making sure David got what he deserved that God himself orchestrated Absalom's violent end? This question matters because it goes to the heart of our image of God, and particularly of God's justice. We all, I think, agree it was fair for God to punish David, but is it fair that Absalom pay the price too? Do these kinds of things happen, these things people sometimes explain with words such as fate or karma? Is God behind these tragic events, or do they just result from human choices? People speculate about this all the time, don't we, whenever anything good or bad happens. Are events in life coincidental, or, as some have coined the term, God-incidental? This past week, I drove to Camp Manitou, our diocesan camp near Manitoulin Island. I was there to pick up our youth delegates from Youth Synod, who had a wonderful time, by the way. And on the way back, we got stuck behind a terrible accident that killed two people. We were just a few minutes from possibly having been in that accident ourselves. And that freaked me out a little bit because, for some strange reason, on the way to camp, I had stopped for 5 minutes to pull over to the side of the road and, of all things, read a sermon on my smartphone. And I remember thinking, why am I pulling over to read a sermon on my smartphone? But I did, and that delayed us about 5 minutes. Now, if you've ever had a close call like that, you know that it gets you to thinking. Was the accident completely random? Did God protect us and the other youth from camp because people had prayed for our safe travels? And if so, what does that mean for the poor people who died? Did they not qualify for those protective angels because no one prayed for them? What is God's plan, and what is a true accident? This, of course, is a huge question, one we probably won't be able to solve in our lifetimes, never mind in a short sermon. And as Job learned in all his questions about all kinds of suffering, ultimately we must bow to God who knows the beginning from the end. Still, when we have questions like this, the questions that are raised in today's reading, it's good to look at examples from the scriptures. And the story of Absalom's death can, I believe, help us in this task. So let's go back to the story to see what clues there might be to help us get at this mystery. Who killed Absalom? So first of all, what is the role of David in Absalom's death? The very first line of our reading goes like this. The king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." This order, coupled with David's obvious grief when he hears that Absalom has been dealt with rather less than gently, shows us that if David is responsible for Absalom's death, it wasn't intentional. Now, we can't be sure what David means by "deal gently." Absalom is his political enemy as well as his son, and David understands very well as king that the only way to kill the challenge to the throne is to kill the challenger. I wonder if by "deal gently" he meant take him prisoner or take him down, but as mercifully as you can. Because David cannot just let Absalom get away, but the story portrays him very sympathetically as a grief-stricken father, not a power-hungry king. David does bear some responsibility, if not in the moment of Absalom's death, then certainly in the events leading up to it. David, we heard last week, despised the Lord when he sinned so callously. That didn't help. But he was also, in some ways, a terrible father. Absalom was staging a rebellion, but why was he doing that? Well, if you look at the whole story, we see that Absalom is trying to right a wrong that David refused to deal with. That's a whole other story, but suffice it to say, David did bear some responsibility in this whole situation. Singer Steve Bell wrote a wonderful song about this story, and in the song, King David laments, "Absalom, Absalom, you were watching when I took a good man's wife and gave the order for his murder just to cover up my crime. All the vanity, cruel arrogance, and greed, Absalom, you learned it all from me." Now, before the parents here get to feeling too guilty, let's remember that Absalom himself was a big boy, an adult who made right and wrong decisions, a man who, like all of us, had to learn to work through both the good and bad teaching and modeling he received from his parents. You know, we all mess up our kids and bless our kids in our own special ways. But David's grief for his son reminds us that even though David made big mistakes, the Bible never questions his love for his son. And I hope that's of some encouragement. Well, what about the soldiers? Is Absalom's death as simple as some men doing their duty? I suppose that could be the answer. But because the lectionary skipped over some verses, in fact 20 verses, we miss a lot of this story. And what we miss is the fact that before the fatal attack, David's troops debated among themselves whether or not to kill Absalom. They had heard the king's word, his plea to deal gently with the young man. Everybody had heard. And even though Absalom is rebelling against his father, he is still the king's son. So they are loath to lay a hand on him. Turns out that even the soldiers, men trained to kill, are conflicted about finishing off this vulnerable young man caught in a tree. So yes, Absalom is killed in battle, but the story shows that this was not a foregone conclusion. There was a lot of hesitation and doubt before the final blows. So David hoped for a different outcome and grieved for his son. The soldiers did kill him, but not without some soul searching. They both bear some responsibility. But our question still remains, where is God in all this? You know, the name of God is nowhere in this story, which in itself is interesting. But there are hints that forces other than clear human plans might be at work here. These hints don't implicate God, but they do show us the complexity of the story. First of all, we see that in addition to just the men in battle, nature is also at play. Notice the detail the storyteller gives. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest claimed more victims that day than the sword. So while the little men fight amongst themselves, nature does more damage than all of them put together. The second clue of something larger than human intention at work here is the word happened. Absalom, we're told, happened to meet the servants of David. That's the language of accident or coincidence, not of military precision. Third, and this one is the key, notice the language the storyteller uses to describe poor Absalom's position caught in that oak tree. It says this: his head caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth while the mule that was under him went on. Absalom left hanging between heaven and earth. I read this to mean that Absalom's destiny is left hanging too. Remember, the soldiers debated about whether or not to kill him. Could Absalom have lived? God said that the sword would never depart from David's house, and like all God's words, that turned out to be true. But does that mean this is God's fault? You know, before Israel even decided to have a king, God warned them about where it would all lead, to corruption and tragedy. God did not want any of this. Yes, I suppose God could protect us from our own bad decisions, and I know from my own life that sometimes God does that. But ultimately, I think we understand that human sin and choices and out-of-control ambition have consequences and should have consequences. Well, the causes of Absalom's death are many, but in the end, he died at the hands of human action and confusion and condition and sin and violence, not the cold, calculating will of a vengeful God. Yes, God can do whatever he wants. And yes, all God's decisions are just, even the ones we don't like or can't understand. But God did not kill the young man Absalom. And God did not kill those people in the car accident I narrowly missed. Israel chose to have a king instead of God's own loving rule. Bad things happened. We choose to build highways. Bad things can happen. Good mixes with bad. Wheat mixes with weeds. But God is still faithful. Well, when it comes to why sad things happen, we all have questions. And when it comes to why really tragic things happen, we all want someone to blame, don't we? And our questions can make us feel like Absalom, stuck between heaven and earth, hanging there, vulnerable, looking up in faith, but feeling the downward pull of doubt. But when those questions arise in our hearts, let us remember that while we may not have all the answers, we do know for sure that God is not the author of death. He is the author of life, the giver of bread for the life of the world. King David mourned for his son with these haunting words: "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son." David could not die in place of his son as he wished, but Jesus could die, did die, in our place. Jesus made this very clear in the closing words of today's gospel reading: "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, you can't give your flesh and live to tell about it. That was Shylock's dilemma in The Merchant of Venice. So when Jesus is speaking of giving his flesh, he is speaking about his coming death on the cross. God mercifully exchanged his own son's life for our life. God's will for us is life, abundant life, and he stopped at nothing to redeem us from the kind of chaos that David's family and millions of family before and since have experienced. Why did Absalom die so terribly? I admit it's complicated. The answer probably lies somewhere between heaven and earth. But who gives life? Well, that's no mystery. Jesus Christ, and he's all heaven, the living bread that came down from heaven to touch and transform the earth. Amen.